cafe across the cobbled street. It looks so much more vibrant in real life, but the picture must have been taken in the 80s, so it was hardly surprising the colours looked rather vintage. Chamillon, Île de Ré, was printed at the bottom of the postcard, a fishing village on an island on the west coast of France that I discovered via the internet weeks before booking my flight. The cafe, which overlooked a boat-filled harbour, hadn't changed much in the intervening decades. The red and white striped awning was the same, as were the tables set out at the front, draped with gingham cloths. Only the old-fashioned sign above the door had been changed, replaced by gold lettering on the window, spelling out Café Belle Vie. Mouthing the name, my heart did a kangaroo leap. It had been behaving oddly since finding the postcard among my father's things, to the point where I'd started to worry I was developing a condition. Slipping the card back into my bag, I tipped my face to the sun and drew in a calming breath. The first thing I noticed, climbing out of the taxi that had brought me from the airport at La Rochelle, was how good the air smelled in Chamillon. Back home, a scorching summer's day tended to concentrate the odours of the busy Camden Road, where my photography studio was based, a mix of petrol, tarmac, and fried donuts that I'd never learned to appreciate, but represented life to my friend Tony. She couldn't understand why I preferred commuting back to my childhood home in Hertfordshire. It backed onto sheep-filled hills, and the nearest shop was a good 3 miles away. By contrast, the air here was rich with the vibrant scents of sea and sunshine, and the piney shrubs separating the villages that made up the island. I'd seen a surprising number of cyclists as I arrived. Cars were discouraged due to a lack of road space, adding to the picture-perfect prettiness cultivated by the local council. Apparently, no overhead cables or new constructions were allowed, and window shutters had to be painted one of 16 shades, 8 of which were blue and 8 green. The island's unspoilt beauty attracted celebrities, and it wasn't unusual to spot film stars hanging out. Just a few months ago, the actor Jay Marino had filmed his final film in the capital, San Martin, before retiring. Not that I cared about celebrities, but I hadn't been prepared to fall in love with Chamillon at first sight. I was tempted to forget my mission and go exploring, though that might be difficult with a suitcase in tow. I should have gone straight to the guest house I'd booked online, but I was early, as well as hot and thirsty, and once I spotted the cafe, I'd asked the taxi driver to drop me off. I adjusted the thick strap of my camera bag, resettled my crossbody bag, I possibly had too many bags, and grabbed my suitcase handle. Wheeling it across the cobbled quayside was a noisy and tricky process, the wheels bouncing and twisting as I tried to avoid bashing the ankles of passers-by. It was lunchtime, and although Chamillon, according to TripAdvisor, was less touristy than some of the adjoining villages, the area was still busy with visitors and day trippers from the mainland, dipping in and out of shops or taking in the view. As I approached the cafe, feeling too hot in a long-sleeved T-shirt and comfy travelling jogging pants that had seemed like a good idea in the damp London morning I'd left behind, I imagined explaining to the cafe owner why I was there. "Hi, I wonder if you can help? 30 years ago, my father had a liaison with a young French woman while visiting London, and 9 months later, I was born. It turns out she didn't want to be a parent, so gave me to my father to raise, and he never saw her again. I know! They didn't even exchange names. Anyway, he died a while ago, and I found this postcard when I was sorting through his things, and a message suggesting my birth mother was born in Chamillon, so I thought I'd come and find her. Only thing is, I know nothing except that her name begins with M, and she has terrible handwriting. Anyway, do you think you might know what happened to her?" I would say it in exclamation marks to show I was in on the joke, that I knew it sounded like the far-fetched plot of a tragic movie, but also to prove that it wasn't tragic, because after Dad had married, I'd had a wonderful, nurturing mum after all, until she died when I was 18, which was actually pretty tragic by anyone's standards. No wonder Tony was worried. I hadn't really thought this through properly. "Are you sure you want to go on your own?" she'd asked me yesterday, her face flexing in agony as Freddy grabbed her swinging ponytail. "You know I'll drop everything, Elle. You only have to ask." "I'm positive," I reassured her, plopping a kiss on my godson's russet curls. "You can't drop a baby, a job, a husband, and a business. I'm tempted to drop this one right now," she muttered.